This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Segment one, we talked about Atlanta United and their 3-2 win over CF Montreal in week one. Looked ahead to game two up the road, up I-85 in Charlotte, expecting a really big crowd there. I know they'd love to have more than 65,000 in the building. They'd love to beat that number that Atlanta set in week one. We'll see. I think they're going to get a lot of help from some folks wearing red and black stripes. Really curious to see how many people make the trip up to Charlotte. I expect there will be quite a few making noise. It's been a place that Atlanta United has had some success over the years on these trips. Let's bounce around Major League Soccer in week one. Maybe you didn't get a chance to see some of the other matches around the league. I thought it was a good start to the regular season in the league. And we're going to go from west to east to get you caught up. We're going to go from the last game of the weekend backwards. That last game was the debut for team number 30 in Major League Soccer, San Diego FC. They were dominant. They were the better team by far against the defending MLS Cup champions, LA Galaxy. A 2-0 win. It probably should have been more. Anders Dreyer, the Danish forward, scored twice in the second half. One of them really late. I think San Diego was better than the scoreline indicated. He was named the player of the match day. They were really good. They were very organized. LA was disappointing as well. And what's going to be interesting is over time, does LA get better? Does San Diego continue at this kind of a level? We'll get a good test on Saturday night. It'll be a 10:30 Eastern time kickoff. San Diego hosting St. Louis in their home opener at Snapdragon Stadium in San Diego. Saturday night, 10:30 Eastern time. Another team who was very dominant and maybe not as dominant as the scoreline indicated, the San Jose Earthquakes. The Bruce Arena era is underway for the Quakes, and people expected some fireworks with this. I don't know if that would be on the field, off the field, in the locker room, in the coach's office. No telling. And you might get all of the above before the season's over. But it was a 4-0 win for San Jose over RSL. Bruce Arena said, you know, look, we were a little fortunate. RSL was tired after coming in after CONCACAF. We weren't as good as the scoreline indicated. Christian Espinoza was very good. 2 assists, his 10th multi-assist match in his San Jose career. I want to see how Arena continues to use him. Arena caught everybody by surprise, playing in a bit of a 3-4-1-2 in this match. Not his usual MO. And Espinoza was in kind of a wingback role, not his usual position. Thrived in it. We'll see if it's just a one-off or if that's where you kind of see him for Bruce Arena with the Quakes. Arena also joined a very exclusive club of two now. Rob Bradley is the other one. Coaches in Major League Soccer history to win games with 5 different clubs. LAFC. They got off to a great start in regular season play. 8 5-0 in season openers in their history, the longest such streak in the league's history. Jeremy Abobase got the winner in a 1-0 win over Minnesota. And I mentioned Bob Bradley when we talk about Bruce Arena and what he's done. LAFC is so different than they were under Bob Bradley. I mean, it is night and day. Absolutely night and day. The craziest transformation from a wide open attacking team that you always wondered, can they defend well enough to win anything? And they didn't win the big trophy. Steve Cherundolo comes in and he did win the big trophy, but Cherundolo has, in my opinion, gotten even more defensive as his time has gone on in charge of LAFC. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. But LAFC have never lost in a season opener in their history. Vancouver, this was another team that was dominant, was, I think, equal to the score line in this one. Jaden Nelson had 3 assists. He scored the other goal. Vancouver 4-0 win in Portland. Really bad opener for the Timbers and Phil Neville. Our first half red card for Portland, it was the right call. It was denial of an obvious goal scoring opportunity. You had to make that call. Brian White, I think, caught the defender by surprise, kind of cutting back across him. It was very savvy from the Whitecaps forward. Vancouver took full advantage of the extra space on the pitch. Nelson flying up and down the right side. This is a good Vancouver team. It's going to be interesting to see how different they look without Vanni Sartini there. Portland is better than they were. I think there are a lot of questions about how good they can be with Evander now in Cincinnati and David Da Costa as their number 10. He came off the bench in this one. I don't really know if this game is a true representation of either one of these teams yet. I need to see a little bit more from both of them. But Jaden Nelson is one to watch for the Whitecaps. He's the third player in MLS history to have 4 goal contributions in his club debut. Brian Ching and Dwayne De Rosario did it in the same match, actually, the first game ever for the Houston Dynamo in 2006. Ching scored 4 goals and De Rosario assisted on 4 goals. So Nelson didn't pull that off. He did mix it up, 3 assists and 1 goal in this one. All right, let's move over to the Eastern Conference as we get caught up on the storylines from week 1 in Major League Soccer. I'm Jason Longshore. This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Let's talk about some of those big storylines out of the East. Columbus Crew, a team that I do still have questions about. I just wonder if Jason Russell Rowe and not Cucho Hernandez and not Christian Ramirez, I wonder if they have enough firepower. Diego Rossi stepped up in a big way, and you know, look, maybe he makes some of that difference up. The Crew found a way back into this game. I thought Chicago and Greg Berhalter's team started really well. Brian Gutierrez had a great start, gets a couple of goals. Columbus made their adjustments. And look, that's something that Wilfred Nancy is going to do on a regular basis. I think he is either the best or one of the best managers in Major League Soccer. And I've always been impressed with his ability to make those tactical tweaks to get the best out of his team. He did it here, and it was a move that, look, we've seen before with Steven Moreira popping up higher up the field in those dangerous spots and finding ways to make kind of unbalanced situations. Chicago didn't handle it well. Columbus took advantage. They come back to get the big win on opening day. Let's move to the other team in Ohio, FC Cincinnati. A team that, again, I still have some questions about. They had a good CONCACAF game in the midweek. And then they get a really important win against the MLS Cup runners-up last year, the New York Red Bulls, a team that I'm very high on. Cincinnati will be an interesting watch to see, and it's unfair to Evander. But when you're replacing a club legend, a league legend like Luciano Acosta, there's always going to be that comparison. Can Evander be good enough for this FC Cincinnati team? How is he different from Lucho Acosta? And I think one thing that can work to his advantage will be, I think he's just more willing on the defensive end. And look, it doesn't mean that Acosta's a bad player or bad teammate. It just doesn't suit him. It suits Evander a little bit more. But can he give you everything that Lucho gave Cincinnati on the ball? That's going to be the question. We'll see. Work in progress. But Cincinnati get off to a big start with a win over the Red Bulls 1-0. Philadelphia. I did not have this on my bingo card in week one. Philadelphia Union going to Orlando, who got to the Eastern Conference final last year, and winning 4-2. Now, Orlando did have more expected goals, but a lot of those expected goals came after Philadelphia had a big lead. The pressure from Philadelphia caused turnovers from Orlando. Orlando was missing Robin Johnson, a late scratch. Bradley Carnell's the new manager in Philadelphia. He has a lot of similarities to Jim Curtin, but he's not Jim Curtin. Is that good or bad? He had the team playing in something that we have seen Philadelphia play before, but is a little more of a hallmark of Carnell, a little more of a hallmark of the Red Bulls and Carnell's teams in St. Louis, more of a 4-2-2-2, a box midfield as opposed to a diamond. A diamond gives you flexibility. A box can give you flexibility. It as I tell you all the time when we talk about formations in soccer, that's how it's going to look when you kick off. I think what you're looking for here, if you're Bradley Carnell in that box, is a little more solidity in the middle of the field with the two lines of two midfielders. I'm curious to see if Philadelphia can keep this kind of play up. Carnell went to St. Louis, had a great, great start, had a great first season, and it tailed off pretty fast. Is that going to happen in Philadelphia? Or with some of the new additions, Ty Baribo with two goals in this one, is Philadelphia a team that maybe we need to watch a little bit more closely in the Eastern Conference? I didn't have them as a playoff team in 2025. They might make me my words. We will see. Daniel Gazdag, he scored in the last three season openers for the Philadelphia Union. Let's go to Miami. It was a 2-2 draw for Inter Miami against New York City. They had a first half red card. They came back and got a super late equalizer to finish 2-2. All kinds of contentiousness. I'm not 100% sure that's a word, but I'm going to go with it. To the point that Lionel Messi was arguing with the referee after the final whistle, had to be pulled away, went back to argue some more. And then Mehdi Bolucci, who's the assistant coach for New York City, said something as Messi was walking off the field. Messi went back to him. They get into it a little bit, arguing back and forth. And Messi grabbed him and kind of like pinched him on the back of the neck. I mean, I don't know if he was going for the Vulcan nerve pinch or what, but it was noticeable. It wasn't a choke. It wasn't anything like that. So you do have to put it in its proper context. Definitely not something you typically see out of Lionel Messi, and not something you should see out of any player, and he was fined for it. But it gets into this idea, and Messi and Miami had a big win tonight in CONCACAF Champions Cup. We'll talk about that a little bit more in the next segment in the 3-4-3. I think this Miami team feels the pressure that they're under. You know, Tata Martino's gone. It's Javier Mascherano. He's going to put them under pressure too. That's how he was as a player. I would assume that's how he's going to be as a manager. They won the Supporter Shield, and we've talked about it, and I know it might upset some people. I think the Supporter Shield with the unbalanced schedule that Major League Soccer plays is a very good accomplishment, but it's not League's Cup. It's not the Open Cup. It's not MLS Cup. So they won the fourth most important trophy. CONCACAF would factor in there as well. The fifth most important trophy that they play for. They won that one. But they got eliminated from the playoffs a lot earlier than anybody expected. And now they really need to go win things. Multiple things. Or at least MLS Cup. If they only win one trophy. Because Messi is not going to find the fountain of youth in South Florida. He's 37. Luis Suarez is not going to find new knees in South Florida. I don't know how functional his are. He's able to play through it, and he's able to be very, very good. But that will wane over time. Jordi Alba will find father time. Sergio Busquets, I think father time might slap him in the face on a more regular basis than he'd like to admit. This is a Miami team that is still incredibly good, But this is a Miami team, and I think you saw it in Messi's actions, and I think you've seen it in some other faces and just the way things have played out. This is a Miami team that will feel the pressure of they got to win trophies or at least the big, big one, MLS Cup, at the end of the season. Or the project could possibly be considered a failure overall. It's crazy. They got a Leagues Cup. They got a Supporter Shield. They don't win MLS Cup, or if they don't win multiple trophies, and CONCACAF would probably need to be one of those. You could look at this whole project as a failure when it comes to Inter Miami and Lionel Messi and friends. All right, quickly, around MLS this weekend, RSL hosts Seattle, a game that RSL really has to bounce back. I think there's some pressure on Seattle as well there. New England hosting Columbus in the 7:30 games. Red Bull hosting Nashville. That's an opportunity for Red Bulls to get right, in my opinion. Orlando's got that as well as they host Toronto. Philadelphia hosting Cincinnati will be one of the must-watch games at 7:30. Chicago hosting D.C. at 8:30. You might want to skip it. Kansas City hosting San Jose at 8:30. I do want to see if the Quakes can continue on the run that they're on. I want to see if Montreal can go and give Minnesota a game. That's an 8:30 kick on Saturday. Colorado hosting Dallas. I think that could be a sneaky good game. LAFC and New York City, that's the first of the 10:30s. Portland and Austin, a lot of pressure on Phil Neville and the Timbers as they host Austin. San Diego hosting St. Louis. Is San Diego for real? Maybe we'll get a better sense of that Saturday night. And then two games on Sunday, Vancouver hosting an LA Galaxy team that's going to be feeling the pressure after a bad opening week performance. And the Houston Dynamo hosting Miami in what could be another sneaky good game, a rematch of the 2023 U.S. Open Cup final that the Dynamo went to Fort Lauderdale and won. Looking forward to week number two around Major League Soccer. Looking forward to the next segment as well. It's the 3-4-3, three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Coming up after the break on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.